You're listening to an audio podcast from Cherish Women's Ministry. To find out more about our yearly conference, go to thecherishconference.com.
I started off as a researcher. I'm a scientist. I'd had a clinical practice for 25 years, and I've been in this field for 30 years now. And 30 years ago, I had a ridiculous question. And that ridiculous question was, can the mind change the brain? Now, why was that ridiculous? Well, let me tell you why. Back in the 80s, when I was studying and I was just qualifying and doing my first, I've done a few degrees, the wisdom of the day was that your brain cannot change. Okay, so once a brain was damaged, that's it. So as a therapist, I was trained to work with all manner of people with brain damage and autism and learning disabilities and stroke victims and people with heart attacks and traumatic brain injury and you name it, that was what we were trained to work with. But the training that I received was one of teaching my patients to compensate and not to actually restore their function. So we were literally trained how to teach our patients to function at a lower level. So better than what the damage was, so you improved on the level of damage, but we were never trained to say, well, they can completely restore. So it was compensation versus restoration. Now, I've been a Christian my whole life, and I knew the Bible, and I knew when I qualified that I have to challenge this ridiculous concept and notion with a ridiculous question, which is, can the mind change the brain? Now, we know Romans 12:2, we can renew the mind. We know we can bring thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. I mean, there's endless scriptures talking about the fact that our thought life is something that we have control over. We get told in Timothy, you have a love, power, and a sound mind. I don't think there is anyone who has totally recognized the power of those words that I have just spoken. We have a love, power, and sound mind. We do not have a loveless, powerless, and soundless mind, like the world tells us. So if we have a powerful mind, it means that we can change our brain with our mind, which means that the mind is separate from the brain. That was also, you didn't speak about that in those days. Just last week, last Wednesday, I did a TED talk. Do you know what a TED talk is? Okay, I did a TEDx talk. Now, they don't allow Christians on to TED talks, okay? So you don't talk about Christians. Now, that particular group, this is an incredible story, a ridiculous story too, because this school where we did the actual event at, is there's only two schools licensed in the entire world to do TEDx talks. Only two. And one of them was the school that I did it at last week, and it is a Christian school. All the speakers spoke about God. Now, they may not put all their talks up. They may or may not. But the point is that this is a scientific community, so ridiculous things are happening. God is penetrating, and that's my point. God is moving out there into the community. All those years ago when I asked that question, I was told by neurologists and neurosurgeons and people that were in the field at the time that that's a ridiculous question. That doesn't happen. But I knew it wasn't ridiculous. So I started a career of researching and trying to prove that this is the case. Because I knew it spiritually. We all know, because God says in Philippians 4:8, think on these things. And he says, do not fear. And it's bringing the thoughts into captivity. So if you're doing this mind stuff, then brain change is happening. So for me, that is the fact. Okay, the Bible is the fact. And that's the difference between it is the difference between a believing Christian who's a scientist and someone who doesn't believe in God. Because when you're a scientist that doesn't believe in God, you are challenged with what is called the hard question of science. And the hard question of science is, who am I? What is consciousness? Why am I unique? Where do I come from and where am I going to? That's a whole bunch of questions that are lumped under the term consciousness. What is consciousness? Well, as a Christian, we know where we come from. We know where we're going. We know we have our standards laid down in the Word of God. So for me as a scientist, it was a very easy thing to take that standard and then just to go and prove it. Okay, so that's what I did for 30 years. And I started working in the field, in that field, but I started focusing on older children with learning disabilities. And the reason I did that was because older children with learning disabilities, we were also trained that once you hit the age of 8 or 10, well, sorry, there wasn't really much you could do for them. I knew that that was not true. I knew that if you direct your mind, you can change your brain, because your mind's separate from your brain, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I also started working with traumatic brain injury. So those are people that have had car accidents, people that have been all kinds of trauma from various car accidents, motorbike accidents, falling off roofs, whatever, damage to the brain, okay? So major damage. Now, a traumatic brain injury, which used to be called a closed head injury because your skull didn't literally split open. Sorry to be so graphic, but you know what? I'm in this field, so a skull splitting open and blood squirting everywhere is kind of normal. Not really, I'm just joking. Okay, so a closed head injury was the brain hasn't actually cracked open, but there's tremendous diffuse damage in the brain. Now, here, let me explain a fact to you. Your brain is on a stem. So this is the brain, your arm is the stem. So if you have a bump, you bump your head, your brain jumps around and whacks the sides of your skull, so you get shock waves moving through your brain and you get diffuse brain damage. So we were told back in the 80s, once you have diffuse brain damage, well, there's not much hope. So therefore, traumatic brain injury was considered a disorder in search of data, meaning there wasn't much around research-wise. There weren't many programs. And same with the older child with the learning disability. The same thing with someone who had been labeled with an autistic, had been diagnosed with autism. So, long story short, one of the first patients that I work with, and I tell you this to just build hope into you and to show you the stories. I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. I don't have much time to tell you many, and I have thousands, so I'll only limit it to a couple. But let me tell you the truth that I'm going to share with you tonight is that there is nothing that you cannot change if you use your love, power, and your sound mind aligned with God. Okay, so that is key, because the self-help industry has totally twigged onto these principles of mind changes brain. The New Age movement's been teaching this for years, minusing God from the equation. The fact is, we have to bring God back into the equation. It is God who created us. It is God who designed us. So it is God who's going to make the self-help actually work, because self-help means submission to Christ. So the self-help industry without Christ will not work, because it's not connected to the vine. We need to be connected to the vine. So when you teach someone to direct their mind, you will find brain change, which is what the scientists are finding, which is what the neuroscientists are finding. You see, back in the 80s, as I said, they didn't believe it could happen. By the mid-1990s, when they had discovered the technology that can look inside your brain and see what's going on, called fMRI technology and various other types of brain technology, well, then they started seeing, hey, when people start thinking, things are changing in the brain. And so then it is accepted today that neuroplasticity is a fact. In fact, as you are listening to me now, you are not the same as you were 10 minutes ago. You're not the same as you were 5 minutes ago. You're not the same as you were 30 seconds ago. Because every signal that you are hearing from the sound of my voice is going in your brain. You are processing it with your mind, and you are physically capturing that as a protein that forms into proteins that form into thoughts, and you are literally building brain cells right now as we are talking. Well, you're growing little branches on your brain cells. When you woke up this morning, you had millions of new brain cells in your brain, which is called neurogenesis. Neuro means brain, genesis means new birth. Every morning when you wake up, God gives you millions of new nerve cells that as you go through the day and you think and you do your stuff, they get pulled up into the scaffold of the outside of your brain and you build them into your memory networks. Lamentations says his mercies are 323, I think it is that one. His mercies are renewed every morning. The mess you made yesterday can be fixed today. You are designed to redesign. Girls, we are designed to redesign the landscape of our brain according to the precepts laid out in the Word of God. Or you can design your brain according to the precepts laid out in the world minus God. So we are either listening to God or we are listening to Google and gossip. This is a choice that we have to make. So here I am in the middle. This is you and I. And on this side of the stage where you see these pretty little trees, that's God. This is me. And you, this is us, made in God's image. Okay, so we are wired for love. We are made in God's image. Genesis 1:26, basic fact. We are made in God's image. Everything about your physical brain and your physical body is wired for love. In the brain, they call this the optimism bias. And in the body, they basically call that every single structure, function, every single part of you is only designed for the positive. So we have nothing in us designed for negativity, for fear, for anything like that. So God is love. We are made in God's image. We are love. The Bible says that we have a love power and a sound mind. So this is our normal. This is our natural. So when God created us as an incredibly, wonderfully, generous, godly, loving thing, he gave us the ability to choose, to think and to choose. He did not create automatons. He did not create robots, which are things that you stop at in South Africa called traffic lights. We call robots traffic lights or robots in South Africa. When you first came to this country and said, oh, the robot, whatever. They said robots, people looking for these little things walking around all over the place. Okay, so God did not make you a robot. You could have, he could have, he's God. But he made you able to be an independently thinking human being, choosing to be a co-creator of your destiny alongside God. So as we co-create, we can choose. And when I say co-create, we do create because he has given us the ability as we are thinking and as we are choosing, we are generating signals through our brain, through our brain, which cause our DNA to actually switch on and we make proteins. Our proteins express and they group together into these little tree-like clusters that we call thoughts. So on this side of the stage is the normal, natural love design. And this side of the stage, this little wiry tree over here, all the way from sunny South Africa, is a toxic tree. Okay, this is a toxic thought. This represents the fear zone. This represents the love zone. And those of you who've heard me talk before, I use this everywhere I go. I even used it last week in my TED talk, but I use it slightly differently because I use it in multiple ways. But the point is that this is our normal natural, and this is the abnormal. Now, we are co-creators, and we have a love power and a sound mind. As we think and as we choose, we redesign our brain. As I said a few moments ago, you're not the same as you were when you walked in this evening, because you have merged with the technology on the stage, you have merged with the words that I'm speaking, you have merged with the worship that we sung, which changed the way that your brain is functioning and on a completely different level. You, in fact, while you were worshiping, wired in neuroprotective neurons into your brain. So you grew some protective neurons in your brain while you are worshiping God that will protect you against negative stress. I mean, God is so generous. Every time you worship God, you are creating neuroprotective mechanisms inside of your brain. So you are creating. God gave us free will. He gave us the ability to think. He gave us the ability to choose. And when you choose, there is a responsibility that comes with choice. You see, you are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. I know you know that scripture, but let's talk about it scientifically for a moment. I lay before you life and death. So God makes us these humans, in his image. Don't want to knock God over. Okay, in his image. That was really stupid, sorry. Wired for love, in his image, perfect human beings with this ability to choose. Now, just think with me, girls, please, think with me. In our ability to choose, he has taken a huge chance because you could choose not to follow Christ. That is love. When you let your kids drive their car for the first time, our fourth one's just learned to drive and is begging me to drive to school on her own, and I haven't let her yet. Okay? So that ability to let them choose to get out there, that's a simple example. We can all relate as mothers. That's what God did. He loved us so much that he gave us that freedom to choose him. And that is incredibly powerful. Now, one of the things for the last 100 years that scientists have been debating is that we have no free will. They tell us that we are mechanistic animals, that we are in a machine-like world made of mechanistic parts, and that we have no free will. And they give all this incredible, incredible science that God has revealed to them. Do you think they've thought it out? Of course not. He inspires all everything. God made everything. Science is a description of the everything. So every scientist's discovery is another revelation from God through a donkey, if he wants to choose a donkey. So all scientists are not donkeys, that's not what I'm saying, but all scientists that don't believe in God do not find those things on their own. They are being revealed by God through the Holy Spirit, because he is revealing his glory, his magnificence through his creation. Science helps us to understand how this world works that he has given us, so that we can align ourselves and respect the world that he has given us, and respect the bodies and the brain that he has given us, so that we can do what we are supposed to do. So taking responsibility comes along with free will. So these scientists that say we have no free will, well, let me tell you something very simple and very funny. They chose to say we don't have a free will. I rest my case. It's a moot point. Okay? There is no debate, because they chose to debate in the first place. Okay, so we are these incredible human beings that constantly have an ability to choose and rewire our brain. So let's look at the first slide, which is a slide of inside the brain of neurons. These are actually neurons that are in a Petri dish. So it's kind of out of your head, but this is what happens inside your brain. And basically you'll see movements. It looks like little lights. Okay, and you'll see movement all over the place. And what you're seeing here is growth of neurons. So a little growth of neurons and growth of dendrites. Now, as you are listening to me now, you are generating this incredibly powerful signal. And it's a huge signal. It moves at quantum speeds, which is much faster than classical physics, which is electromagnetics. And if you don't understand what I said, it's fast. Okay? And it goes right down to the DNA, right down to the DNA level. The DNA is wrapped up in like a little sleeping bag of protein. It's got little switches on the outside, like a light switch, and those things just sit there in their sleeping bags doing nothing until they are activated. Well, guess what activates them? Our thinking. 75 to 98% of the things that actually switch the DNA on to unzip the sleeping bag, which means that the DNA, which contains the genetic code, will then express and make proteins. It is that activation happens by our thinking. The other 2 to 25% comes from what we eat, what we inhale, chemical side. So there's the physical things that we put in our body, and then there's the mental thoughts. So our mental thoughts dominate the gene expression in your body. So the way your attitude is determining and influencing how your genes are expressing. This is powerful. You are creating a landscape in your brain moment by moment of every single day. Now, we are only designed to build positive thoughts. Those little DNA sleeping bags are designed to be unzipped in a nice way. They're not designed to be ripped open with a pair of scissors and this pushed out of their little bed. They're not designed to do that. But every time we make a toxic choice, that is what we do. So the little protein will express and it will fold, but because it's kind of being beaten up, it will fold incorrectly. And because it folds incorrectly, all the electromagnetic balance down to what they call the dance of the proteins, the vibrations of the proteins, there's nothing weird. God made all of this stuff, okay? It's just because the New Ages have taken the word vibrations. We all think vibrations is weird. It's not. They stole it from him and took Jesus out of it. So let's put Jesus back with the vibrations that he created on the protein. Okay, so when we make an incorrect choice, all of that stuff goes wrong. And then we still will build, because the protein still forms, but it forms a toxic thought. And a toxic thought is then an abnormal thing that is destructive in your body, because we don't have design for this. So we build in an abnormal design that causes inflammation in our brain, upsets all the electrical, chemical, quantum, neurophysical, neurophysiological, every balance that you can think of is upset, and we have a huge problem going on here. We have created a negative environment in our cells when we do this. We have 100 billion, more or less, cells in our brain. We have 75 to 100 trillion cells in our body. We are able to make as many memories, which are thoughts as you want. You have got endless space. You've got 3 million years plus worth of space. The more you think, the more memories you grow. You will not grow memories out your ears and out your eyes and out your mouth. I promise. Your brain can handle it. So the more you think, the more brain, the more little trees you are building. But you can be designing a healthy landscape or a toxic landscape. Now here's God's grace meeting science again. We can make bad choices and we can make good choices, as you've just heard. Every choice that we make is actually changing the structure of our brain. It's changing the landscape of our brain. So God knew, because he's omnipotent. He knows everything, as we know, okay? So he knows everything about what you're going to say next year, next month, in the 10 years' time. He knows everything. He knows all your choices. So in knowing that, he also allows us a freedom of choices that we can make. There isn't just one good choice. There's a bunch of good choices that he has allowed us to co-create with him. He also will stand back if we choose a whole bunch of bad choices. That is our freedom. That is the love that God has placed within us. So when we choose, when we do this, however, there is a limit that he's put on it, a protective limit. And that is that we can only mess up 5% of our genome. Do you know what a genome is? The genome is basically all your genetic code, okay? So they mapped that a few years ago, and there was a big project where they were mapping the human genome, and what they found was that they only understood about 3%, and 97% they call junk DNA, which because they didn't know what it was. Scientists are really good at saying something's junk when they don't know what it means. And then suddenly a few years later they say, hey, that's not so junky. It's actually quite amazing. And then suddenly everything changes, because science dies one funeral at a time. It is not an exact thing. Science is a learning process. It is not an exact process. The only thing that is exact is the Word of God. So science has to catch up with the Word of God as God chooses to reveal, like it tells us in Daniel 12:4. So as we are getting this information, as we are building these choices, we are limiting that to a 5% factor. Well, God has limited that to a 5% factor. Let me make this simple. Let's pretend that this chair where I was sitting over here, which has got no one sitting in it at the moment because I don't want anyone to get upset by my example, that is now a toxic choice. The rest of you are all great choices. So the rest of you are here, you're in the 95, and that chair over there is in the 5%. Your entire life, the bad decisions that you make are limited to that chair inside your physical brain. That is the limit. Now you can, that's only a little chair compared to what is in this room. And we can live as though that is the everything in our life. You see, when we focus on that little chair, it becomes everything. We can take a camera, the cameras that are up here on the stage, we can zoom in on any one of your faces, and the whole night long, we could just stare at your face and hear my voice and all these pictures, and we could just focus, and that's the same kind of thing. We can choose to direct our mind wherever we want to direct our mind, and whatever you think about will keep growing. Where the repeated effort, that concentration, when you direct your attention, the repeated effort that makes learning take place is something that we are doing with our love, power, and our sound mind. We learn to be toxic. We learn to be positive. We make that choice. This is the power that God has placed within us. It comes with massive responsibility. And if you read your Bible clearly and carefully, you will see there's a huge responsibility placed within us. But God doesn't leave us alone. He's there with us all the time. So coming back to full circle to where I started, I worked with this traumatic brain injured patient, or many, but one that I used for a particular part of my research was a young girl who'd had a car accident a terrible car accident. She was thrown very far from her car. She was in a coma for 2 weeks. The doctors told her parents she would be a vegetable. When she came, the parents did not give up. They were believers. They spoke the word over this girl. They played Christian, the worship music. They just spoke life into her, and she heard her parents. When she came around, she said, Mom, I heard you praying for me. Dad, I heard you praying for me. And they told, this is the ridiculous thing about when we think science is the ultimate. God is the ultimate. That is the final voice. This girl came around. She didn't give up. The parents contacted me 14 months post-accident. This is a long story, so I'm going to really shorten it. At that stage, it was early in my research on neuroplasticity. What is neuroplasticity? Neuro means brain. Plastic means to change. I was studying my ridiculous question. Can the mind change the brain? Can you Can you drive your brain in a corrective direction if you discipline and rigorously organize your thoughts? Well, yes, you can. We know that spiritually, and I proved that scientifically. And a lot of scientists were working in that area, and we were all considered ridiculous. Now, as I said, mid-1990s till now, neuroplasticity is accepted, neurogenesis is accepted. So now we all agree in the world of science that we can change our brain. But back then it was crazy. And this young girl came to work with me, and I had developed techniques that I've put into some of those techniques. I put in my 21-day detox and all my books and all my stuff that I've developed, I've put into my materials. Anyway, this young girl, I taught her how to do this. When she came to me, she was on a fourth grade level. Here's the ridiculous thing. She was 16 at the time of her accident. She had lost 11 months, which means that her peer group were now going into 12th grade. She was from a vegetable to a fourth grader level. It was incredible already. Now, within 8 months, this young girl not only closed the gap, she wrote 12th grade with her peer group. She finished school. She went on to get a degree. And when I took her back to the neurologist that assessed her in the beginning, he turned to me and he said, "You were lucky." Wasn't lucky. That young girl directed her attention. She chose to use her love power and her sound mind, and her brain had to obey her mind, because your mind is your soul, it is your intellect. Let's put that slide up. Your mind is your intellect, your will, and your emotions, and your mind basically is your soul, which controls your, let's see if it's up here, there we go, you are triune being, there we go, your spirit, soul, and body. And what happened with this girl, let's talk about your spirit is your intuition, your communion, your conscience. Your intuition is where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Your conscience, right and wrong. Worship, communion. Okay, that's the three parts of spirit man. So the spirit controls the soul. The soul is the intellect, will, and emotion. But the spirit only controls the soul when you choose to let the spirit control the soul. So to be born again, you have to actually choose, as you know, to follow Christ. And then your unregenerated spirit, which is kind of this limp part of this three triune being, is all limp. As you get born again, you get plugged in to the Holy Spirit, and boom, your spirit comes alive. And now with your mind, you become aware of this connection to God. And with your mind, you're supposed to be listening to the intuition of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to be listening to the conscience, the prompting of your conscience. You're supposed to be doing what you were designed for, which is worship with God, which is a constant development of your relationship with God, which means pray continuously, or as it says, as I always like to say, develop a continual dialogue with God. So when you're doing that, then the Holy Spirit is controlling your spirit, which is the right way. But you had to choose with your soul. You had to make a decision with your mind. I'm going to follow Christ. I am going to ask the Holy Spirit all day long. Should I get irritated with my husband and my kids? Should I get mad in this traffic jam? Should I be nice? Should I be horrible? Should I overreact? Shouldn't I? Talk to the Holy Spirit. The research shows that we are able to stand back and observe our own thinking. We are designed for internal dialogue with God. I'm running through a lot of concepts now just due because of time, but I've got this in my books and whatever to help you take this further. But if you get nothing else, you are able to stand back and observe your own thinking. This is what this young girl did. Here's something more ridiculous. Listen to what God will do for you when you listen to Him. When you develop a constant internal dialogue with God. When you let the Holy Spirit lead your spirit within you, choose, then your spirit will control your mind. Okay, look at the order. And then your mind controls your body. Now, even if you're not born again, it's still spirit, soul, body, but your spirit's not regenerated. It is always that order. Scientists tell us that the mind, which is the soul, which is the intellect, the will, and the emotion, scientists that don't believe say that the mind is an emergent property of the physical. That is nuts, okay? Why? It's saying that that lump of flesh is producing the neurons, the activity of the neurons and the things that are going on inside the neurons are producing the mind like an artifact, like a residue, like a mistake. It's like this side effect. So they're like making the created the priority, as opposed to the creator of the created. Man has always done this. They're always looking to worship the wooden idol. Currently today, the wooden idol is the brain. A few years ago, it was the gene. When the DNA was discovered, the DNA, ladder was discovered, okay? So that was then worshipped. Those things do absolutely nothing. Let me prove it to you scripturally. Remember remember Lazarus, the rich man, and the beggar who sat outside his house? Remember the story? And the dogs licked his wounds, and he had didn't have much food, and he ate the crumbs from the table of the rich man, and Lazarus, the rich man, had everything. And then one day they both died. Now they were dead and buried. When you are dead and buried, what happens to your brain and your body? It goes away. It disappears back to dust. Okay, from whence we came. Okay, dust to dust. You know the story. So they no longer have a brain. They no longer have a body. What does the rich man say? Abraham. He's speaking. He doesn't have a mouth. Abraham, please send Lazarus. He remembers. He has a memory. He doesn't have a brain. Doesn't have a body. Please, I'm thirsty. He doesn't have a brain. He doesn't have a body. He doesn't have a tongue. He doesn't have sense organs. He's thirsty. Abraham says, remember, reminding he's got memories. In other words, do you get my point? The body, the flesh is temporary. It's while we are on this earth. It is the third in the row. It's extremely important. It doesn't mean you can go and feed a donut all day. I didn't swallow, breathe, or anything there. Feed a donut all day long. You have to respect the temple that you are given. I've got a book coming out and a TV show coming out on that. You have to eat properly. You have to get the mindset behind the meal right. You can't just stuff your face with donuts and say, okay, God, I pray that you're going to make the donuts turn into kale. It doesn't work. Okay? So we have to realize that, yes, it's going to die one day, that brain and that body. But in the meantime, that's what you're supposed to be doing your work with God in. So he uses your body. So the fact here is that scripture, if I can take it much deeper, I don't have time. If you want to see me take it deeper, just recently I did 2 weeks of airing with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on Believer's Voice of Victory. And we spend 10 days really getting into this stuff. So you can just go on to Kenneth Copeland. Also, the link's on our website if you want to dig deeper into this concept. I don't have time to take it deeper. So therefore, the point though is the mind is separate from the brain. The mind is over and above the brain. So when I am in this zone over here, which is the fear zone, I am in a disordered state. So I have about how long do I have left, Leanne? I still have 10 minutes left. 18 minutes, hallelujah. Okay, watch what I can do in 18 minutes. Ready? Okay, so that patient of mine, and I was going to rush something, but I thought I only had like 5 minutes left, but 18 minutes, I can do this properly. Okay, so that patient that I was talking about, the one with a traumatic brain injury who overcame her, who got to graduate, what I didn't share with you, this is to show you what God does for you when you use your brain, when you use your mind to change your brain. This young girl was a very average student, kind of, you know, really, really average. In South Africa, we don't do grades like you do in this country. We do it like 60s is a C, and that's an average student. Here, 90 or 80 is like the equivalent, okay? So when I'm talking average student, she really got sort of 70s and 80s if you want to talk American language. In South Africa, it meant that she was getting around about in the 60s, which is not a very average student. Her IQ was also very, very average. Now, one of the things that you needed just to show you how ridiculously wonderful God is and how incredible your brain, incredibly your brain can change when you use your mind, is that in diffuse brain damage that you get from a traumatic brain injury, what will happen is the IQ normally goes down 20 to 30 points. That is what the literature had shown for years and years and years and years. In this case, this young girl, this is the first and only case that I've ever found in this of this type of thing happening, this young girl's IQ went up 20 points. It didn't go down, it went up. And the neuropsychologist that I had evaluate her to make sure it was objective, so I got external people evaluating, I had external statisticians evaluating my research, we got people from all around the world evaluating all the different projects so that we could make sure the statistics were good and accurate. This neuropsychologist said this young girl actually is off the scale. He said, I had to peg it at something, but she was very nervous that day and a little bit emotional and not, you know, whatever. So it impacted her scores. But he said that I'm giving her a 120 as a conservative estimate. Here's the thing. This is a young woman who's had so-called vegetable status given to her with huge brain damage, who now is more intelligent post-accident. Her grades went up some of them 220%. Her math grades in South Africa going from the 60s went into the 80s and 90s. Every single subject, and you know it was, when you look at the graphics, I don't have the graphics up here to show you, but when you look at the graphic, there is, here's her, like it goes straight and then suddenly, boom, it goes up as we teach her how to use her mind to change her brain. Since then, I did so much other research in public schools, in schools with children with learning disabilities. I've done projects in this country. So I've worked one-on-one with people, and I have worked through teachers and therapists to see, does this work if it's not me teaching it? Let me take the me out of this thing, and let's take this concept of directing your mind with a technique and change the same changes we had for 30 years on. If we fast forward 30 years, for 30 years, I have seen this happening in multiple scenarios. And not so I worked with them, most of my patients I worked with on an academic, I worked with academics because that was what was important to them. They came to me with problems, they wanted their things fixed up, but we didn't directly work on things like language and psychosocial, emotional, but all of those improved like more than 100% as well. So what we know is that thought precedes words and behavior. Whatever you are thinking will then, whatever you are thinking will become a thought physically inside of your brain. Your brain is a super fancy photocopying machine. Incredibly complex. We only understand about 2% of the brain. So yes, it's a photocopying machine that is actually a very complex computerized photocopying machine. But when there's no life in that brain, there is nothing happening. Things happen in that brain when you are alive and you are generating the spirit of life through your body. Your mind is changing your brain, led by the Spirit of God or not led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God, good change. Mental health is what will result when we are in God's zone. And we are designed to be in the zone all the time. When we make wrong choices, we descend into disorder. And we step into this zone, which is the fear zone, which is the opposite spiritual truth. Love and fear cannot coexist. Love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And fear is the opposite of that. Love and joy cannot coexist. So when we make a toxic choice and we choose to keep the bitterness and the unforgiveness and the trauma and the anger and the anxiety and whatever, those things will turn, it will be little at first and then they will grow, and they will grow from a feeling of being uncomfortable, of the hurt, of the trauma, whatever it may be, and if we don't get rid of it, it will grow into a worry grows into an anxiety grows into a trauma. By 63 days, if you've consistently been thinking about this information, you have turned something that was just a short-term memory that could have gone in 48 hours, you have turned it into a long-term memory that is now impacting the way that you function. You're creating chaos and disorder in your brain. You created brain damage in your brain because we're not supposed to have these here, let alone keep them for longer than 63 days. And some of us have got stuff here in our brain, 3 cycles of 21 days, that we've had in our heads for years. These are the things that are from years ago that we suppress and we think that they're not doing anything. Well, they're there in your non-conscious mind, influencing your conscious mind, because your mind has a conscious and a non-conscious part. And the non-conscious part is big. It's where everything's stored. It's not bound by space and time. Your conscious part of your mind is what you're operating in when you're awake. It's the here and the now. It's bound by the rules of space and time. But your non-conscious mind is not ruled by the laws of space and time. So if you, now we just to understand this a little deeper, you need to understand the difference between sin and trauma. Sin is voluntary. We choose to sin. We choose to not listen to God. And we build this in, so therefore sin is voluntary and we therefore create evil. Sin is evil. We create evil, not God, not the devil. He is evil. But we add to it. Now, the devil has no power. All power is removed from him, but he's in this zone over here lying. He's an illusionist, girls, and he is telling you, hey, don't do this. They said that about you. They're thinking this about you. This is going to happen. And it's like a mosquito in your ear. And it's all illusions. It's all lies. But on this side is the true word of God that is alive and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it is truth. His present, past, and future, your present, past, and future is already done on this side. God is waiting for us to partner with him and to choose whatever path you want in the good side. There's multiple avenues. God is very gracious in allowing us to co-create with Him. That's part of our intelligence that He has given us. So we're in this side and we've got all this incredible stuff, but we have to choose to step there. So either this is real, this is real, this is not real. So the enemy knows it's not real. He knows he's got no power. He's a defeated foe. All power was given to Jesus. Then Jesus says that we've got power. So he can only lie. But so he wants you to take, now listen to this because this will free you. He wants you to take the in your ear, and he wants you to think about that, because he knows when you think, he's quite smart, he knows when you think that you are going to actually think. If you think long, 21 days and another 21 days and another 21 days, 63 days, three cycles of 21 days, I've got the details of this in my books and DVDs, you will actually turn that little thought into a physical reality in your brain and turn it into a long-term memory. And he's sitting on his hammock, you know what a hammock is, and he's sitting back there dropping grapes in his mouth, whatever vision you want, and he's laughing at you because you actually did all the work. You listened to his lie and you did all the work, and now you're a mess because this thing has created inflammation in your brain, and 75 to 98% of current mental, physical, and emotional and behavioral illnesses today come from our thought life. Okay, so we've got this mess over here. So now we have to make a decision, because this creates disorder. Now, if we keep this and we don't get rid of it, trauma also looks like this. Trauma also looks like a big mess. Now, trauma, you're a victim. Sin, you volunteer. So sin is voluntary. Trauma is involuntary. No one offers to be trafficked. No one offers to be abused and beaten. But those are toxic signals. They get received. They get by your mind. Your mind processes and focuses, and it builds us in. This is why we have to forgive. Trauma and sin, we have to forgive. We have to forgive our perpetrator, because when you forgive, you are getting them out of your head. You are eliminating the neurodegeneration. It is going away. And God says, if you read the Bible, and this is why we need to read our Bibles, and we need to memorize scripture, because otherwise we don't know the truths of God. Because do you know what it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:6? Who knows what it says there? Don't look in your Bible. You can. It says, I will repay with retribution those who trouble you. You see, when you give it to God, you cast it out of your head. You free yourself. Otherwise, you are chained to that pain of the past. And this will create disorders. And as the disorder grows, you're going to get a label. And those labels will lock you in. And you know the labels I'm talking about, the psychiatric labels of OCD and PTSD and depression and bipolar depression, anxiety disorders, and all these labels that the psychiatrists haven't a clue what they mean. And I say that with authority, because they will be the first to admit that that the mental ill health is worse now than it was 100 years ago. Since we have moved into an applied neuroscientific approach, where we're trying to make everything a brain disease, we have gone backwards in mental ill health. I have a whole TV series. I was taping the whole day last Tuesday some of the segments on mental health that is coming out in the next few months, where I teach this a lot slower with a lot of examples, and I go into medications, and I go into how the current medical model sees these things as brain diseases. So you've got a disease in your brain, therefore that is why you've got depression. No, it's not like that, because the minute you have a disease, you are locked in and you feel hopeless, and you feel the only way I can get through this is by having those medications, which make it worse, because all those psychotropics were in the first place were developed for other purposes, not for mental health, and they have been proven over and over again that they do not work. They cause side effects. They have a temporary relief, because they actually alter the brain function, and then they cause all the problems that come after. Now, here's the good news, because that sounds like terrible news. You can spend your whole life in a mess like that, but you can come to God and you can acknowledge that situation and you can confess that sin. You go to the Holy Spirit. You never do this alone. You say, okay, Lord, I am tired of this OCD in my life. I am tired of having this label of bipolar and having to take these meds. I am tired of having this constant bitterness nagging at the bottom of my stomach, or whatever it is that you're doing. Lord, Holy Spirit, show me. And that's what my 21-day detox teaches you. You go to the Holy Spirit. You do not do this on your own. You see, the Holy Spirit will bring these things up. And what he does is he orders them. So here's a visual to help you. There's a big, huge house, and it's got lots of windows in the house. And in each of those windows are these issues that are, remember, only as big as that 5%, that chair. OK? okay? 95% of you is perfect and wonderful. In fact, all 100% of you is perfect. But the damage that we can do is limited to 5%. If that isn't grace, I don't know what grace is, okay? So that 5% should not be dominating. In fact, that 5%, whatever you've got going on in your life is only a percentage of that 5%. Why are we letting a percentage of a percentage dominate us when it's not the truth? Okay? So what we are able to do is bring that thought into captivity to Christ Jesus. We are able to stand back in his arms, not alone. Self-help does it all alone. So this poor little pretty pink flower is all alone. So there will be a level of healing because wherever you direct your mind, your brain has to follow. But it will boomerang back because we are not strong enough on our own to be able to make the right decisions when you're buffeted by the constant lies of the enemy. We need to be protected, and that's why God gives us Jesus, why he gave us Jesus, why we've got the Holy Spirit to lead us unto all truth. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit that you're listening to, you are listening to the devil. I'm sorry to blow your bubble, but that is the truth. There is no middle of the road. And sometimes the devil speaks through your best friend, your husband, your whatever. Okay? So, and they're not meaning to, but they say things that you really should not be listening to. You should be testing everything that comes at you by this correct standard. So we stand in God's arms and we look at that house and we say, okay, Holy Spirit, the next 21 days, what must I work on? And he knows what you can work on now. He does. You do not even really know. Your best friend, your husband does not know. And if someone says, hey, you know what, Caroline, I think you need to work on that, I will ignore them. Why? Because that's going to come up as something with a ton of emotions that I'm not ready to deal with. It's going to throw me off kilter and I'm not going to be able to move forward. And I have got a lot to do. I spend 2 hours a day in research. I've got 4 kids and I travel 4 days a week and I write books and products. I'm on the go all the time. So if I don't get my mind lined up, I get in a mess, okay? So you don't listen to people. You listen to the Holy Spirit. We walk alongside each other. We encourage. That's incredible, Leanne. You're working on that. If Leanne chooses to share with me that she's working on X, or I choose to share with her because we trust each other, then we're going to encourage each other. But I'm not going to tell her what to do, and she's not going to tell me what to do. But the Holy Spirit will show you. And as you walk with the Holy Spirit, he will show you, work on this now, work on this now. And basically, renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2, is a lifestyle of every 63 days, 21, 21, 21. It takes 21 days to basically break down a toxic thought so you become aware of it. You do the whole thing. There's a whole technique. It's all laid out in my books and online programs. Very simple. Okay. Science made simple alongside scripture, and you basically break that down and you build up the healthy replacement thought. Then you have to practice automatizing. And the reason I want to share this with you before you pass out from all the scientific words, automatizing is extremely important because automatizing is habit formation. Okay, so once we have this new great way of thinking, we still remember how we were in that particular area because you work on one thing for 63 days. What we need to do is we need to practice the new you. You need to practice what you've wired in, which is true, and what you've wired out. But we still have memory. So what we do is we reconceptualize. Okay? That's part of the research that I've done, is that all this automatization and reconceptualization, what it means in English, is that we redesign the landscape of our brain. And let me end with this. Then the angel, Revelations 22:1-5, and then the angel of life showed me, and then the angel showed me the river of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of grace. And it flowed down through the middle of the street, and on either side of the street were the trees bearing their crops every 12 weeks. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. The leaves that you build on when you are connected to the throne, that scripture tells us that when we are connected to the throne, that the trees in our minds will grow the correct leaves. So we design the landscape of our brain alongside God. This is not who you are. This is not your destiny. This is who you have become. That is who you are. So unbecome it. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.